BASF Science Behind is always a unique opportunity to learn more about what's happening in the industry. But I think this time, guys, you're going to really want to tune in on what's happening with soybean cyst nematodes. I'm Susan Littlefield with the American Ag Network. And Horacio Lopez Nacora joins us now. You gave, and I should add, from the Ohio State University, and you gave probably one of the most invigorating talks that I saw guys pulling out their phones to pull up calculators to do some numbers. When you talked about the number of eggs a single female can lay, multiply that by 3 to 6 times per year.
Yeah. So, what an amazing animal, no? This is, I mean, the soybean cyst nematode is an animal like you and me. I mean, and it's one of the very few animals that in its genomes have the ability to secrete effectors in the plant that completely can hijack and take control of that plant machinery. So much so that it can cause significant yield reduction with absolutely no visible symptoms. Which means that it's doing something in the root system that keeps the plant looking very healthy, yet losing tremendous amount of yield. And in that process of completing its life cycle, the female will lay on average 250 eggs. And we throw that number every time I say that, because during my master's degree, I had the I don't know if to say the privilege or the very painful task of like grabbing each females, breaking them, and counting the eggs within. You know, when we say and we yell out of there, on average 250 eggs, for me it's like that's nothing. I was counting up to 800 eggs per female in the greenhouse. We're talking about very conducive environmental conditions, but we know that the potential of this animal to reproduce and produce progeny is tremendous. They are a machine. And like you say, this can happen several times during a season. That's why when I communicate with growers and I hear the statement of, I do have soybean cyst nematode, but very little. I don't have to worry about it. I know that we're in big trouble there. And I urge that grower, in many cases when I have this conversation, that we go to his field or her field and collect a sample at planting and then go back to the same spot and collect a sample at fall when we harvest beans, right? And in that, doing those two sampling points give us what we call a reproduction factor, how much the nematode will reproduce. And it's just like an eye-opening exercise that I do with growers to just turn them into the dark side, if you may, Star Wars. But essentially starting with very low numbers, 200 eggs per 100 cc of soil, ending the season with more than 9,000. Wow. I mean, and that means that amount of nematode lost so many of those eggs. So you can see that we're essentially only 1% of that cohort of eggs are being successful to eventually reproduce. And with all that disadvantage, still can manage to, at the end of the season, bump from a very low number to above damage threshold. And to add to all of this, no visible symptoms.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I had the best soybean season, healthy-looking beans, yet you're living below ground above 30% yield reduction. I mean, that's over $300 an acre if we're going to use some range of between, you know, $10 to $12 a bushel.
So I'm curious then, how does this, because, it's a herbivore, how is it surviving in extremely cold soil temperatures like North Dakota, northern Minnesota, areas of South Dakota? Why is the cold weather not killing it? That was one of my biggest takeaways from today.
You know, that's a great observation. And for me, actually, it's not a surprise at all. In the southern part of the United States, we have other soybean nematodes that are more challenging to manage, and not SCN as the main one. And in South America, it's very sporadic where we have issues with SCN, areas such as Brazil, Paraguay, Argentina. where some of the climate over there allows for multiple production of soybean, right? Mm-hmm. And we are understanding that that warm weather condition, right, the lack of like freezing soils like we have here in the northern part, really may be enhancing other natural enemies of SEN. I mean, the soil is such a wealth of ecological and microbial diversity, right, that the nematode may be competing with other organisms that are serving as biocontrol. And in the northern part where we're really encountering freezing soil temperatures, all of those natural enemies may be going away and the nematodes remain as a sole survivor, right? So we have a very specialized animal that can survive very well. It can survive freezing temperatures, and it can survive as eggs not hatching. So you can have soybean and those eggs may not hatch, just waiting for the right time. Or it can only hatch when soybean is present, or there's another group of that cohort that can only hatch when soil gets warmer. So such a sophisticated machine of just surviving under harsh condition and adapted so well where we plant soybean the most in the U.S.
Horatio, you also talked about, you know, obviously the rotation that, that our farmers do, soybeans and corn. Should they almost be thinking going soybeans, corn, corn if they know they've got a higher rate of SCN?
That's a great comment there. And the answer is it all depends on your levels of SCN. So the first question is, do I have SCN? If the answer is, I don't know, sample your field. Take a soil sample and know if you do have it or not. Send it to a soil lab. There's many nematodes diagnostics lab in the U.S. and through the SCN Coalition, you can have access to all that. We have a website through the SCN Coalition where we list all the different nematode diagnostic lab in our different states. If you have soybean cyst nematode, results come back and yes, you do, unfortunately. How much? And that's extremely important. The levels of soybean cyst nematode will dictate the management strategy you will use. And one of those management strategy will be a 2 years continuing corn to lower the population. Now, unfortunately, we have realized through research that by planting corn continuously for many, many years, you will not get rid of this pathogen. And it's exactly because of that reason that I just mentioned. There's a cohort of those eggs in the soil that they just won't hatch. You give them warm temperature, they won't hatch. You give them soybean exudate, they won't hatch. They will hatch whenever they're ready to do it.
So then what makes you excited about Nemisphere and what this is going to mean for fighting SCN?
So first of all, the fact that this is the first GMO technology for nematode management is one of the things that is really exciting because it's just a different mode of action. And, you know, if you deal with any type of research that tries to battle a biotic stressor, either weeds or fungal foliar pathogens or soil-borne fungal pathogen or nematodes, you know that using the same active ingredient recurrently on the pest will create a selection pressure and eventually they will adapt. They will develop resistance to that same active ingredient mode of action. Now with Nemasphere, we're bringing a different way of managing SCN that can be integrated in the IPM structure we already have, the integrated management strategy that we already have for SCN, which is rotate resistant, so use resistant. It's the best way to manage the nematode. Do not allow the nematode to reproduce, and that's what resistant does. They will penetrate the root. They will not reproduce if the resistant is effective. Rotate to a non-host. Corn will not allow the nematode to reproduce, and by not doing so, it will reduce the population. Consider a seed protectant, and that's to enhance the root health. There are other organisms there that are also partnering with SCN to make more damage. That's the message of the SCN Coalition. sample your field, know if you have it, and then the three components. Now we're bringing in an additional tool that can pair perfectly well with what we had on place. So for me, the grower, the soybean grower, is the most important factor here. Helping soybean growers and stakeholders to recover the yield that soybeans is nematode have stolen. And we don't want to change things very radically. We want to seemingly incorporate something that can really help us make the management more sustainable. And that really excites me.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I want to learn more, Horacio, about this, because you guys, just in your conversation today, has just got my brain going.
Yeah, it was fun. I think like sharing the stage with farmer growers, for me, it's really something that I'm very grateful for. All my respect to soybean growers, and they are the reason for the work that I'm doing at Ohio State.
All right. Thanks so much, Horacio. Yeah. Horacio Lopez-Nacora joining us here at BASF. I'm Susan Littlefield reporting.